and sharing. Go back with me now to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. You read with me that story of Paul and Silas and Timothy when they first came to this city of Thessalonica, which is in the country of Greece, and it is still there. That city is still there today. And tonight we're going to go back over that story. Another amazing story of the sovereign power and saving grace of our Lord in sending His Word, sending His gospel into a city and calling out His people. And it says there weren't just a few. There were quite many. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had just left Philippi in chapter 16. Now, that's another amazing story, isn't it? If you've read it, the story of the church at Philippi, which was up the road about 70 miles. And that's where the Lord, remember, Lydia and some women were down by the river, and Paul wanted to go into Asia and preach, but the Lord wouldn't allow him to go there. But a man appeared in a dream in Macedonia to come over there. Well, Paul didn't go into Asia, and that happened to be where Lydia lived, in Asia. But being one of God's elect, she wasn't home. She was down in Macedonia or Philippi. Amazing, isn't it? That's where the Lord sent Paul, to Philippi, and where he preached, and the Lord saved Lydia. He had her living there at the time, and her whole house. Her whole house. And then the Lord put Paul and Silas in jail. Well, that just stops the work, doesn't it? No. There's a man in jail that the Lord is one of the Lord's elect. That's why Paul is in jail. And the Lord saved that man, a jailer. And so the church at Philippi was born. Well, he got out of jail, and he headed down the road. And the Scripture says he passed through a couple of towns. He didn't stop there. You see, the Lord saves whom He will, like the article. He calls unto Him whom He will. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed or destroyed. He doesn't have to save anyone. But He's merciful. And in His sovereign mercy, saves whom He will. He does show mercy. Well, He passed through two towns, two cities, to get to Thessalonica. And so He came, and verse 1 says, they came where a synagogue of the Jews was, a Jewish synagogue. And Paul was a Jew. And after his manner, a former rabbi, Pharisee, he always went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to worship. Even after the Lord saved him, he still had to find a place to worship. And he did. And there he went in and began to reason or preach out of the Scriptures, and he preached Christ. That's who he preached. And verse 4 says, some of these Jews believed and consorted. The only time that word is used, we have a place called a consortium. That means a gathering together of those of like mind, buddies. These people became fast friends and followers and buddies with the Apostle Paul and Silas. They just clung to them and wanted to stay with them. They consorted with, verse 4, Paul and Silas, and the devout Greeks, devoted. These were sincere and genuine seekers at the time. Like old Simeon, devoted, devout. Sincere seeker. You seek, the Lord said, and you'll find. You'll find. And so they did. The Lord sent the gospel, verse 4. And a great multitude believed, and of the chief or devout women, not a few, but many. But the Jews, these unbelieving Jews, the ones that believed not, it says they were moved with envy. They couldn't stand it that these people believed God's Word and believed Christ and were no longer under their under bondage to them, you know, their little minions. But and so they took unto them, it says, some lewd fellows. They gathered together a bunch of no good fellows, and they set the whole city in uproar. They hated the truth, they hated the gospel, and they caused a citywide uproar against Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And they went to the house where Paul and Silas were staying. Jason was the man's name. And the Lord blessed Jason, don't you know? Like the house of Obed-Edom. Like the house of Lydia. You know where Paul, whom the Lord sent the gospel to, was Lydia. Well, she took him into her house. After they got out of jail, Paul went back there and stayed with her. And the Lord blessed Lydia, didn't he? Blessed the house of Lydia, the house of Obed-Edom because of the gospel, the house of Jason. Although they experienced great persecution, Jason was assaulted. He was greatly persecuted. But the blessing far outweighed the persecution, didn't it? Huh? And so they came and they took Jason and some others. Paul and Silas were not there. And they took them, custody of them and brought them before the magistrates and tried to press charges against them for sedition and so forth. Now go down to verse 10. The brethren, they sent Paul and Silas. They were worried for the safety of Paul and Silas, and that night they sent them away unto Berea, right down the road a piece, and there was another synagogue there. And so what did Paul do? You know, if ever anyone had a reason not to show up for church, so to speak, that Sunday, it'd been him, wouldn't it? His life was in danger. Nothing but trouble. Everyone was out for his life. No, he's not looking for reasons to stay away, but he's got to find where God's people are worshiping the Lord. That's his manner, he said. And so he goes there, and immediately he begins to preach. What did he preach? Oh, he said in another place, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, which is Christ and Him crucified and risen and ascended and exalted. So he preached there in the synagogue. In verse 11, you know this verse, it says these Bereans were noble. They were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica in that, here's what makes a person wise and noble, they received the word. This was God's word that Paul and Silas was preaching. They couldn't deny it. Why would they want to? But with readiness of mind, they received it. You know, if a person is truly seeking, as we said, and hears the word and searches the scripture, it says they searched the scripture. Paul and Silas preached from the word. So what did they do? They had a Bible. And they took their Bibles home and they searched through those scriptures. I'm going to see if what he's saying is so. And John, they began to search, and lo and behold, it was so. They were preaching from the Word, and they were telling the truth. And these Jews believed the truth, and the Lord saved them. Well, the Lord saved them, so that's why they believed the truth. So if you seek and search, Lord will, He will be found. He's promised that. Well, the Jews from Thessalonica down the road, they heard that Paul and Silas were in Berea preaching. You remember what our Lord said to those Pharisees? He said, you will not go in yourself and you won't suffer others to go in. Remember that? Well, these Jews came down to Berea and they started trouble there. They didn't want anybody to hear this gospel. They didn't believe it and they didn't want others to believe it. You remember the story I told you of Brother Greg Elmquist going down to the Dominican Republic to preach the gospel You remember that? Well, Brother Greg, I'll refresh your memory. This is very applicable. Brother Greg went down there to preach, the first one, as far as we know. And there was a group of people that asked him to come, and he went there. Well, when a fellow heard that Greg was coming there, a fellow who had been speaking to these people, he wasn't a gospel preacher, and he heard that Greg was coming there, and he knew that they were going to meet that day, he went early and told them all to disband. He said, "You can't do this. Leave. You cannot listen to this man preach." He forbid to let them hear this man preach the gospel. And you know the story, how that Brother Greg and the man who went with him that night at midnight were sitting in a cafe drinking coffee. And lo and behold, one of the men from that meeting was looking for them all over the city. That's a big city, isn't it? A million people or so. And he found him. And he sat down and Greg preached the gospel to one man. And you know the rest of the story. We went down there and began to preach to that same group. Well, this still happens, doesn't it? Those who don't believe the truth don't want others to believe it and hear it either. But verse 14, immediately the brethren sent Paul away by sea to Athens. Athens was quite a ways away, 400 or 500 miles, long journey. But Silas and Timothy stayed there. Now, before Paul left, I know this is so from his letter. Before he left, he told Timothy, he said, "Now I'm leaving, and I'm real concerned about the church at Thessalonica. I want you to go there and see if they're okay. When I left, Jason was in jail and some brothers, and the church was being persecuted." He said, "I want you to go there and I want you to preach the gospel to them and see how they're doing. And you come back and you tell me how they're doing. I'm worried about it." Yeah, he's a man. He's worried. And so they did. Timothy and Silas, we believe, did. And so Paul left for Athens. And when he got there, you know the rest of this chapter? Says he was waiting on them. What did he do while he was waiting? He started preaching. That's John when he went to Mars Hill. And that's when he preached this great message from Acts 17. But that's not my text. I wish it was. But I got a good one. While Paul was there, and then when Timothy and Silas came to them, Paul sat down and wrote a letter to Thessalonica. Turn there. 1 Thessalonians. That's why we have this letter. Okay? While he's at Athens, he wrote this letter to the Thessalonians. And he wrote actually both letters while he was there. Two letters he wrote. One, waited a while and sent another. A letter to the church from Paul. And now, Timothy came to Paul. And here's what he said. "Paul, Brother Paul, I went to Thessalonica and they're doing well. They're rejoicing in the gospel, Paul. Those that believed it are holding fast the beginning of their confidence. They loved it. They're still meeting, Paul, in spite of all the persecution and trouble and those that don't want them to meet. They're determined by the grace of God to have a church there and meet there. Paul, they're still meeting together. And when I went there and preached the gospel to them, they just rejoiced. And oh, I rejoiced. We had such a good meeting. Paul, don't worry about them. The Lord's keeping them. The church is there and established there." And so Paul wrote this beloved letter. He's encouraged. And he says to the church, verse 1, "Paul and Silas and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians." The church. Church is a blessed term. I don't bandy that term about to anything and anyone or any place. Don't call buildings churches anymore. that. The church is a blessed term reserved for God's people. The church is not a place with its people. Persons, God's elect, God's beloved elect. The church at Thessalonica. When you think of the church at Crossville, do you think of a building? What do you think of? Rather, who? Huh? Sister Ruby. And on it goes. Brother Larry. And Brother Don and Mary and others. Don't you? You think about these persons. The church at Thessalonica. And Paul writing this letter, and he thinks of Jason. He thinks of various ones that he knew and loved. The church, read on in verse 1, that is in God the Father, in His love. It was a love of God that sent Paul down there. God foreknew, foreloved these people before the world began and sent Paul to preach to them. Yes, it wasn't a chance meet. It wasn't an accident. It was the loving will of the Lord to send the gospel to them. In the love of God, in the heart of God. He said, I've engraved, you're on my heart. I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. In God, in His covenant, everything concerning them is in the covenant. And in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they've been chosen, loved, blessed by God, put in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed by Christ to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made them accepted in the blood. Oh, my. The church in God the Father. The blessed family in the care of and the love of the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the loving Lord and Savior. My, my. I'd like to preach that someday as it is. Grace, He says unto you. Oh, my. The grace of God has come to you. The God of all grace, yes, saving grace has come to you. Grace, keeping grace has come to you. Eternal grace, God, the gifts of God are without repentance. What He gives, He won't take back. Grace unto you and peace, He said, from God our Father. Not the Father, but our Father. Who hath given us this spirit of adoption, whereby we can call Abba. Abba. A blessed, familiar term, but still in fear. Abba, peace, peace from God. Our God's not angry with His people. We think He is, but He's not a man. I want to preach sometime from Habakkuk 11, I believe it's verse 9, where He says, I'm not a man, I'm God. And so He says, I can't put you away. Your mother and your father may, but He says, I won't. I'm God. I'm not a man. I want to preach peace from God our Father. Peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of His cross. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our peace. We give thanks. Verse 2. We, Paul, Silas, Timothy, we give thanks to God always. Always. We give thanks to God for you all. You know, Paul was a grateful man. Paul was an appreciative man. He gave honor to whom it was due, thanks to whom it was due, didn't it? You know good and well if someone did something for him, he would give thanks to them. Thank you for doing that, brother. I know he thanked them. The people treated him well. I know he was the most thankful guest that Jason ever had in his house, wasn't it? But concerning this thing of salvation, when it came to this thing of salvation, he said, I am bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. You know, he said this 4 or 5 times throughout these letters. The second letter, I just quoted it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. He thanked God for them, not vice versa. You see, it was of the Lord's mercies that made them brethren. Yes, they loved the Lord. They loved Paul, and they proved their love, but they loved him. Why? Because he first loved them. So that's where thanks is due, chiefly, primarily, unto the Lord. He says, we give thanks to God, always giving thanks to God for you all. All of you. Do you love these brethren? How many of them? Some of them? All of them, don't you? Is there anybody in here that we could do without? Anybody expendable? Huh? Anybody that you think, well, if they're gone, no, won't miss anything. Anybody? We give thanks for you all. Paul said, I give thanks for the old as well as the young. Male, female. Weak as well as the strong. I give thanks for you all, he said. And I make mention of you in my prayer. If you love someone, this is the greatest proof, really, that you love someone. You know what? You pray for them. You pray for them. And it's the greatest, no greater service can you do for someone. You know that? There's nothing greater that you can do for someone than to bring them before the Lord. Lord, bless them. Lord, have mercy upon them. Lord, would you lead God? Lord, would you prosper? John wrote in his second, beloved, he said, I wish above all things that you would prosper. John wasn't prospering. He was hurting. But he wanted them to prosper. He wanted them to. Oh, he said, I make mention of you in our prayers always. And verse 3, he says, I remember. I can't quit thinking about your three things. Work of faith. Four things. Work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Three things. In the sight of God and our Father. Can't quit thinking about this, your faith, your work of faith, labor of love, and your patience and your hope in the sight of God. God sees this, and so did Paul. He saw this work and this labor. What is it? What is this work, this labor? Well, it was the service and support of the gospel, is what it was. And the church, the brethren, they helped one another, and they helped those who preached the gospel. And they did it out of a heartfelt belief of the truth, faith, heartfelt, and love for the gospel. And they were patiently, by the grace of God, they were enduring these trials. This church was going through great trials and persecution. We can't imagine. We cannot imagine what they endured, the afflictions. And now so Paul writes to them and says, I can't quit thinking about what all you've done in faith and love to the gospel and patience of hope, waiting on our Lord Jesus Christ, enduring these trials in the sight of God. And he says in verse 4, I know, brethren, knowing, brethren, beloved, I know you're one of God's elect. You're God's elect. I know you are. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The title of this message is The Beloved Elect of God and How They're Known. He says, I know. Paul had not seen the book of life, had he? God wrote a book. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And he wrote this before the foundation of the world. And he put names in that book. They're the elect of God, put in the Lamb's Book of Life, who's a lamb as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. And God, in his purpose according to election, put those names in a book and sealed it. And it was never to be opened until the end of time. And then God, well, Christ, the Lamb, is going to take that book and open it up and read those names, and every one of them will be there. How do you know? God said so. Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. How does Paul know they're elect? He hasn't seen that book. Nobody's seen that book. How does he know? Can we know? John wrote a whole epistle, and I want to preach on this soon. Some things we know. And he said over and over again, hereby we may know that we've passed from death unto life. Hereby we may know. How do you know? How do you know? Well, Paul saw something. One time, he sent Barnabas down to, where was it? I forget the city. He sent Barnabas down to see how they were doing, enduring under trials and so forth. And it says that Barnabas, when he had seen the grace of God, he rejoiced and went back and reported to Paul. He said, I saw. And Timothy came back to Paul and said, I've seen it. The grace of God. These are God's elect. How do you know? Well, here's how you know. Okay? Look at the next line. Here's what will happen. Here's how the elect are known. Verse 5. Our gospel came to you. I know you're brethren. I know you're one of God's children, brothers. I know you're beloved of God. I know He loves you. I know you're one of the elect of God. Why? He sent our gospel to you. Our gospel. Not this perversion. Not this deception. Not these strong delusions that God sends to men. That blinds eyes and deafens ears. But our gospel. Paul said, my gospel. Didn't it? The gospel. The gospel of God. It's God's gospel. That's who it started with. God's gospel. He's the one that purposed it concerning His will and His word and His purpose and His covenant. It's the gospel concerning God's Son, isn't it? That's how you know the gospel. And it's our gospel. The gospel of God's Son. Completely, 100% concerning, in, by, through, to, for the Son of the Most High God. That's our gospel. It's not in our hands. It's in His blessed hand. That's the gospel. This gospel. Our gospel. The gospel of God's glory. Where God gets all the glory. Where the Son of God gets all the glory. When salvation's of the Lord and for the praise of the glory of His grace. That's the gospel. That's my gospel. Is that your gospel? No, then it's our gospel. Our gospel. The gospel of God's will. God's will, mind you. God's choice. Aren't you glad all things are according to His will, not yours? Huh? Aren't you glad He's the one who did the choosing, not you? This is what makes our gospel good news. When Christ said to the disciples, have not I chosen you? They hadn't chosen Him. They would not have chosen Him. They weren't interested in Him. He'd been around Galilee for a long time. They were fishing, Brother Kelly. They knew this fellow named Jesus was down there preaching. They weren't interested. Thank God. He was interested in them. And came where they were with our gospel and called them. You're coming with me. The gospel of His choice. The gospel of His power. I need a gospel that's all powerful. Don't you, Jeanette? I need a gospel that will save me and keep me saved, don't you? That will not let me go. The gospel of God's power, God's mercy, that will endure forever. When God says, I will show mercy, it's forever. Aren't you glad? Huh? Our gospel of God's love, He said, our gospel, the gospel, of our God who is love. His love cannot fail. Will not fail. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And that means He'll always love you. And that means He'll save you. That's my gospel. That's our gospel. The gospel of God's grace. And I got to go on. But that's our gospel. Aren't you glad that this gospel, the gospel, our gospel, came to you? You see, God, His sheep, He has a sheep. And how you know your election is by your call. Peter says, you see, you don't see your name in the book. But Peter says, give diligence, brethren, to make your, in this order, to make your calling and election sure. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. By what? Our gospel. He called. Every sheep that God has will hear this call, our gospel. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Our gospel. And it came to you. When God has an elect, even if it's one, out in the middle of the desert, in a chariot, heading where He will, He's going to hear that gospel. Be he a black man from Ethiopia, 1,000 miles from home, and headed down the desert as fast as he can, God sent a preacher and put him up in a chariot. And saved him. Yeah, my sheep will hear my voice. He sends our gospel. I know you're one of the elect. I know you're God's beloved. I know you're His children and my brethren because our gospel came to you. Not just in word only. Not just in doctrine only. Not just in theology only. That won't save you. That'll convince you, but it won't save you. Not just in doctrine, not mere mental assent. I gave mental assent to the doctrine. All my youth gave mental assent. I agreed wholeheartedly, and it could argue that the truth with whomever. But I didn't know Christ. Oh, it doesn't come in word only, but comes in power, he said. Not in word only, but in power. What kind of power? Heartbreaking power. I believe men were sinners, but it wasn't. The gospel didn't come to me until it. I believe I'm a sinner. Oh, I believe in the depravity of man. That didn't come to me until I believe I'm depraved. Power, heartbreaking power, and heart blessing. The heart God breaks, He'll bless them. The gospel will be more than just a word, but it'll be the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Heart blessing, heart breaking, heart blessing, heart rejoicing, heart piercing. Did not our heart burn within us? Eye opening, ear opening, mind changing. I said eye opening, eye watering, eye watering power. Oh my, life giving power. We're not indoctrinated into the kingdom of God. We're born into the kingdom of God. And you ladies, those of you who experience birth, it's a violent thing, isn't it? So he says, our gospel came to you not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. You know, the Lord sends the Holy Ghost upon everyone who hears, truly hears the gospel savingly. He comes upon you. Yes, you have been. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, if you've heard the truth, you have the Holy Spirit. What happened when the Holy Spirit was sent to the church in the early days? We have the stories there in Acts 2 and other places. It says the place was filled with cloven tongues as of fire. And the people began to speak in languages that they had never spoken in before. You know, the same thing happens now. The exact same thing. Talking about fire. And I've already quoted it. When the gospel really comes and pierces your heart will burn within you. Your heart will burn within you. Gospel of cloven tongue. That man that preaches to you, it will cease to be just a sermon to you. It will be the voice of God speaking to you. And you'll think, that's from me. He's talking to me. And this tongues, or rather languages, you began to speak in a language you never used to speak in before. You began to talk about things like mercy. You didn't even know what it was before. Didn't even know you needed it. Now you'll start talking about it. Mercy, grace, a language you didn't know. You began to say, like the deaf and dumb man who had a speech impediment. Used to be it was all, well, I. But when our gospel comes, it begins to change. To thy. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not me, but thine. Not unto me, not for me. Self will be denied. Hated. You'll begin to loathe yourself and love Him. All things change, all right. The Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You know what Holy Spirit preaching is? Holy Spirit-filled preaching and Holy Spirit-filled services. You know what that is? Our Lord said it. He said, when He has come, and the Holy Spirit has come, here's what's going to happen, He said. He's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. And you're going to rejoice and not be talking so much about the Holy Spirit and the tongue, the language. You're going to be talking about me. You're going to be talking about Christ. You're going to go out of there rejoicing in this Lord seated on a throne and what great things He has done for you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's Holy Spirit. And verse 5 says, and you had much assurance. Our gospel came that gave you much assurance. What is assurance? Well, assurance is not... You don't look to yourself for assurance. You're not trying to see something about you to convince you that you're a Christian, a believer, child of God. No, sir. What this assurance is being assured of Him, being assured of His Word, knowing Him, believing and persuaded of Him. This is the assurance. The only thing we can be assured of about us is that we're sinners. But here it is again. This is a faithful Savior and worthy of all acceptation, especially by sinners such as we, that Jesus Christ, you can be assured of, you can be certain of this, that if you're a sinner, He came to save you. Now there's assurance. You can have full assurance if you completely and fully look to Jesus Christ. And our gospel, you see, doesn't point you to you, but points you to Him and gives you assurance. Well, this one thing I know, that I was blind and dead and dumb, and He healed me. I know this, salvation is of the Lord. I'm a sinner and He's a saint. I know that. I'm sure. Peter said it on behalf of all of us. We know and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's salvation. Oh, our gospel came with this assurance. And He says, you know what manner of men we were. You know what manner of men we were. You know, God sends a true gospel and He sends true men to preach it. The second chapter He talks about Himself and the other men. He said, we weren't there in guile and deceit, but we weren't pleasing men. We weren't flattering you. You know that. He said, we didn't flatter you. If you want to get a big crowd, tell people how much God needs them. If you want to get a big crowd and keep people coming back, keep them happy. Get a big crowd. You sure don't want to call them worms. You sure don't want to tell them you're worthless, no good, stinking, like the Scripture. Don't do that. You'll run them off. No. You're just telling the truth. And if they're God's sheep, you won't run them off. You'll draw them. If you're out for God's glory, you can't glorify man. So that's what they do. He said, we weren't flattering you. We weren't covetous. We didn't seek glory, a name for ourselves. We were interested in God's glory and in your salvation, not your admiration. He said, you know what manner of men we were. And he says in verse 6, and you became followers of us. And you received the word, having received the word in much affliction. You know, all in his next letter, he writes and says, this affliction, this suffering, it's a token of God's judgment and election of you. It's proof. Where there's persecution for the truth's sake, the truth must be there. Where you're hated by all men for His name's sake, you must be loved of God. And you know, we don't want people to hate us. We want people to believe the truth. We want people to come, but if they don't, and if they do persecute us, our Lord said, rejoice. That's the way they did the prophets of old. He said, they hated me. You know this. They hated me before they hated you. You don't want them to. But it's proof that the truth must be there. But he says, I will call my sheep. And he says in verse 7, and I must quit. You were examples in faith and love, charity to all that believe. Verse 8, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Spread abroad, and people say, if I believe like you believe, I wouldn't believe in missions or preaching or all that. No, that's not so. That's not so. If you believe like we believe, you'd be on the radio. If you believe the truth, you'd believe that God has an elect out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, and you'd send a missionary. Find them. Yeah, you would. If you know there's fish in a pond, you're going to go fishing? Well, sure. God says, I have a people. Go! They're going to hear my voice. So, from you sounded out the word. We're on the trail of God's sheep. And Paul said, every place has heard of you. All the churches have now heard of you. And they themselves, verse 9, they show what manner of entering in we had unto you. And they've come to visit you. And they see how you've turned to God from idols. Every one of these people, Scott, were a bunch of idol-worshipping heathen. Oh, they had a zeal according to, for God, but they didn't know the God of the Bible. But now they do, because our gospel came to them. And they turned from that other whatever, from these other gods who are no God at all, to the living and true God and His true Christ and His truth. They turn. Say, you can have that, and though the whole world go after it, you can have that. What have we to do anymore with idols? Hosea said, I've heard Him. So this is where I'm going. And they began to wait. Verse 10. So what they did was meet together and wait. What are you waiting on? Waiting for His Son from heaven. Yep. He whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? See, here's the gospel. Here's our gospel. It's not go into the world and tell everyone how much God loves you, but tell them, preach the terror of the Lord. That it will be only of the Lord's mercies if we're not concerned. That God is angry with the wicked every day. that God, this whole thing is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. It will soon pass away. But God is merciful. God is love. The love of God, though, is in Jesus Christ. That ark which is Christ. Come on, get in the ark. It's only one place. Outside of Christ, our God is a consuming fire. And there is no other gospel. And there is no other sacrifice for sin. Come on. Come on. And that's our gospel, he said. It doesn't exclude anyone. No, no. It includes his people. Okay. How do you know you're elect? God called you by our gospel. Okay, Brother Gabe.